This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, it's always nice to come back and see some old faces. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Been a long time since I've said that. Long time. Feel a little free. Able to get off the sidelines a little bit now. Tom's walking in here. Hey, Tom. Yeah, I'm not going to do that all show, I promise. But it is nice. Metal Chris. I'm scared when you said, I mean, I know you're a metalhead, but I'm scared at some of the music that's going to be on here tonight, because I am not a metalhead, and you're laughing in there and giggling.
I don't play the totally brutal stuff on the air for everybody.
Maybe, how about this? Maybe later in the show, you can play the most brutal stuff possible, and like late in the show.
I don't think CK is going to be cool with that.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, you know, there's limits to what can actually be said on these shows, so I get that. But yeah, good to be back in here. I'll be back Friday and over the weekend, and you know, we'll see. We'll see. Sometimes you there's a level of got to sit back for a little bit and just kind of, you know, wait some things out, if you will. I would love to say that there's something else more interesting going on in the city right now, but I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we know what everybody cares about, and it's Terry McLaurin and what's going on. And I'm going to be honest with you now. I'm not worried about this at all. Like, there's a lot of panic, and again, here different, you know, people calling in earlier, I certainly understand some of the concern that's there and some of the worry, because it involves a contract negotiation and it involves money. But we've seen this movie time and time again. So whenever I go to watch, like, I don't even go to the movies that much anymore, but like whenever I'm watching like one of these Marvel movies, my wife will watch these movies with me. But she'll always say, we know how this is going to end. The good guys always win. Everything gets worked out. And generally, that's the case. Not always the case. But, like, you kind of get the sentiment, right? They're all the same as what she says. All of these contract negotiations with any star player, with anybody in the NFL, they feel exactly the same at this point. This just feels different because it's been a long time since this organization has been in the situation that it's been in. And there, look, there's a lot of factors that are in on this, right? There's Terry McLaurin, and everybody loves Terry, and rightfully so. And it's an organization that comes off a 12-win season. Most success had since Joe Gibbs 1.0 was here. And you go all the way back to all of that. So there's all of these different things that can kind of make people feel a little bit uneasy. Dan Quinn over the weekend saying, not a distraction. Everything's fine. I would expect nothing else. That is literally the only thing I expect to hear from any coach, let alone somebody like Dan Quinn. Dan Graziano, ESPN, saying no trade is coming. Yeah, really? I think we all can believe that too. There's a blueprint that's basically laid out by every agent, every star player, organizations, and they just go step by step, piece by piece. And if we progress to this part, and by the time we get to August, and we still haven't had any real meaningful negotiation, player's going to request a trade. Nobody panics. Nobody really worries about this. I'm not worried. I'm just not. In the end, I would be absolutely shocked if this doesn't work out. Now, that's big picture. From a smaller picture perspective, there are things that do need to be worked out in this on both sides. Now, the one thing I'll say, I never, ever, ever, ever will blame an athlete for trying to maximize his income. I wouldn't blame you for trying to maximize your income, unless you're, you know, committing a crime. I'd say probably don't do that, so let's just take that aside. But from normal legal standpoints, everybody should have a right to maximize their income. And the last thing I want to hear from anybody is the narrative of, oh, millionaires and billionaires fighting over money. Get over it. There's only going to be more millionaires in this world with YouTube and every influencer that's out there. There's seven-year-olds unboxing toys and making millions of dollars a year. It's not going to go away. So put that aside. What does need to happen here, though, is what happens in most negotiations. Both sides got to be able to say, this works for me, oh, that works for you too, and it's got to come together. Because you're in a situation here, if you're the Commanders, where everything's now been moved up. That timetable has gone a lot quicker than what you expected. I bet if you gave anybody truth serum within that organization, maybe a few shots, whatever the case is, there's very few, if anybody, that would say, yeah, we really thought we'd win 12 games last year. They're ahead of schedule, and that's a great place to be in. The problem is now you've got to play like, you've got to work like a team in the offseason and play like a team in the regular season that has Super Bowl aspirations, which means business is different. Now, if this team won 5 games last year, I'll be honest with you, I think there wouldn't even be a discussion with Terry McLaurin about getting any sort of contract extension or new deal or however you want to work out those parameters at all. If they were a 5-6 win team last year, this, I mean, as much as you love Terry, I'm team Terry, everybody loves Terry McLaurin, and rightfully so, with this fan base, with this team, he has gone through some of the worst of the worst. He has suffered. But because the team won and now needs to have their best players in the locker room, this becomes a little bit more complicated. This becomes more than that. Where, listen, I understand that he wants DK Metcalf money. $33 million a year is what DK Metcalf got. Terry McLaurin's a more well-rounded wide receiver. Not as ripped. Doesn't have the same six-pack, but, like, who does, for being honest? You know, DK Metcalf just looks like, at this point, DK Metcalf, you could tell me he's AI and I'd believe it. Like, that's not even a real person with the way he's built. But, you know, listen, similar production at least from those two. But, like, stats and numbers, they can all be skewed, right? Because Terry McLaurin has gone through a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of bad quarterback play over the years. So that's really the difference maker here. You talk about DK Metcalf and similar production. Was DK Metcalf putting up the numbers that Terry McLaurin was putting up with a bunch of scrub quarterbacks? Over, like, with a dysfunctional mess as an organization. So that's what makes this thing way more complicated. But I'll tell you why next. Adam Peters has a balancing act that he cannot get wrong, and that's why this is taking so long. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Nick Ashew on the Fan. I tell you what, I mean, doing, you know, a national show for a few years, that's not a flex. I'm just saying, like, you don't get to talk about your team as much when they're a dumpster fire. This past season, man, that was a ton of fun. It was. Like, it really was to have it be about football and everybody saying things good about your team. Oh, I love you, love it. Now the offseason, I'm seeing a lot of that narrative of, well, you know, here they come again. They're about to ruin everything. Pump the brakes. It's just so easy to fall back into this old, like, oh, well, there they are again. It's not the same thing. Get to that a little bit later. Andy in Bethesda's been sitting around. I want to get to him. He's actually got a really good point to bring up. Andy, what's up?
What's going on, man? Hey, this is 100% Terry McLaurin's agent's fault, right? Like, last time I checked, when he was coming out of his rookie deal, there was no one decent to sling him the ball. If you wanted to prove that he was top-tier talent, he should have gone to a team taking less money then to get with a quality quarterback so he could ask for a bigger deal on his third one. And other thing I remembered as well, I think you might agree with me, you age 1 year every year. They knew how old he was going to be going into this contract, so maybe he should have done a two-year opposed to a three, right, and, you know, to kind of just build him up. So it's 100% the agent's fault. And, like, there's no way some other team's going to give him more money because the only thing he's got going here is the sentimental value. That's it. The fans love him. The fans want him to get paid. But there's no way anyone else is going to pay him more money than the Commanders are probably going to pay him in the end. But they're not going to pay him what he wants.
Andy, great stuff. And you know what? I do agree with the agent is partially at fault for this. I mean, it's obviously not – I wouldn't make it completely there because Terry could have asked out years ago as well and made it known, and he wanted to stay here, and he certainly got paid that first time around. Here's the thing. Terry McLaurin's agent, Terry McLaurin is his biggest client. So some of this is a lack of experience. Here's the part of the blueprint, right? I talk about the contract negotiation blueprint in the NFL. I'm trying to come up with a shorter name. I tried to tell Denton Day this earlier when I was on with him, and I don't have a shorter name. We'll come up with it, though. But, like, sometimes agents get fired throughout this process. And having been through my own contract negotiations that are not talking about $30 million a year, unfortunately, if you find me an agent to get me $30 million a year, I'll take that. But, you know, like, there's a certain point where maybe if you're Terry McLaurin, does Drew Rosenhaus come knocking on the door like, hey, buddy, I got something for you. You want to hire me? I'll get you what you need. Listen, I understand the comp and DK Metcalf and the money that's there and all of that. But age does matter, right? You do age 1 year every year, like Andy just said. Terry McLaurin's 2 years older than DK Metcalf. You're going to hit that 30 mark, and in the NFL, that matters. Not as much for wide receivers as running backs, but if you look, Tyreek Hill right now is the only over 30 wideout making at least $30 million a year. Part of the reason the Chiefs traded him to the Dolphins was the exact situation that Terry McLaurin is now. It's the exact same situation they're in. And listen, if you're Adam Peters, you've got a balancing act right now that you've got to focus on, that you've got to pay attention to, because you need to show that the culture is better here and that players are treated well and appreciated, because that does matter, okay? Like, it does. It matters in any workplace. How people are treated matters because that gets out to everybody. I mean, we joke all the time about teams getting F minuses in that player poll about, you know, organizations and all the different things in the locker room and how they treat family and all those different things. There's a reason why that's public. That stuff matters. So you need to show, if you're Adam Peters, that the overall culture, and it's obviously not just on him, but it is partially on him, show the culture is better. but you also have to show that this culture is smarter, that this organization is smarter than where they were before, and that you're willing to dig in and have some tough negotiations, because that's what this is, business. This is business. This is not personal. If it was an endless amount of money and there was no salary cap and it wasn't going to matter and this team could offer him whatever amount of money they wanted to, they'd give it to him. This is about a balancing act that Adam Peters has to focus on. Terry McLaurin has done everything right. Everything, right? In an era we've talked so much over the years about various diva wide receivers, Terry McLaurin has always been, even when the team was really bad, looked at as the polar opposite of all of that. He's that guy that you want. He's the guy that you want every star wide receiver to be, right? He's the guy you want your daughter bringing home and saying they're getting married. That's the guy right there.
He's the Ryan Zimmerman of this team, honestly. Like, that's what
yes.
he is.
That, you know, it's a great point. And it's, and Ryan Zimmerman, too. Look, Zimmerman was there with the Nats long before there was any success, which is where Terry McLaurin has been. And you hope, obviously, that that continues. Again, I think that this is all going to work itself out when it all comes down to it. But just because Terry McLaurin has done everything right in the past, you know, you can't let this business side of everything turn personal. And that goes to both sides of this. It's not personal. It's about money, but a little bit age when it comes to Terry McLaurin, right? What's he going to be on the back end of that contract? And if you're Adam Peters, it's, hey, I want to make sure that nobody thinks they can come here and get that end of the, you know, end of their career payday like Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders and Mark Carrier and all of those guys back in the day. Now, I understand
Jason
that was
Taylor has
25
to always
years
be on
ago.
That list.
Jason Taylor. I felt like Jason Taylor, there was at least something left in the tank. I mean, Bruce Smith, yeah, there was. But I just, I mean, again, this organization should have never had Deion Sanders in the burgundy and gold, but he was. Like, I know it was 25 years ago, but it still stings. It still makes no sense, right? It makes no sense. But, like, that's what you want to make sure that you erase from history. Unfortunately, Terry McLaurin has become the example. He has the spotlight on him. And this whole entire front office is like, man, we'd love to keep him, but we got to make sure that this is done right. Because if we show that we can get walked all over because we love the guy, that's going to hurt our negotiations moving forward. There is a precedent that's being set right now that it sucks. It's probably the worst guy you'd want to be in this position, but it's also what makes it so polarizing because everybody loves Terry McLaurin and the fan base, and that's what's made it. Everybody loves Rooster, right? Yes. Chris Russell will be joining us next. Oh, my God, the amount of things that were said on this show in the past between... We'll just, he's going to help derail it next. Nick Cashew on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Nick Ashew on the Fan. Oh, yeah. There was a time where this song and quite a bunch of other, I guess we could say, off-the-rail things happened in this time slot on a regular basis. Chris Russell, the man, the myth, the legend, Team 980. Now he's a big shot. But at one point, Rooster, you and I occupied this time slot together and said things on the air and had bits on the air that, I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised CK didn't text us and tell us to go home.
It was quite the animal house at times, I would say. But, man, it is so good to hear you back in this time slot, back on 106.7, back where you belong, back from gambling exile. I'm happy that you're back home and with us.
You know, it's nice to always have a home to come to, and it's always nice to come back with friends, and that's what matters here. You know, there were years where, you know, you and I talked about certainly a lot of dysfunction with this organization through the many names that it's had. And then last year, everything changed. It was fun for me. It was fun for a lot of people. Now, of course, you've got a contract negotiation that's got a big spotlight on it. It's loud. Everybody's got an opinion on it, and rightfully so. I'll be honest with you, man, I'm not worried. I think this gets worked out. I think this is something where everybody figures it out. It doesn't feel contentious like it does in Dallas, but they've also got a reputation there with Jarrah, who loves to play these games and make things as complicated as possible. Just big picture for you first. At this moment now, with all the information you've had, with everybody that you've talked to, how does this play out for you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let's start. This is very different than Micah Parsons and the Cowboys, or even the Cowboys things from the past, right? I mean, Micah is going on to contract two. He's one of the top, you know, three edge rushers in the game, so on and so forth. We all know this is Jerry just playing the stall tactic, playing the delay game, whatever he's doing over there. But it turned nasty on Friday with what Micah, you know, officially put out there. So we will see. I don't think we have that here. I mean, you know, if you want to say Terry was nasty at Eastern Motors, I disagree with that characterization. I would say he was pissed. He was mad. But he didn't act like, oh, I want a divorce forever from the Commanders. Even with the trade request, it's not like he came out and wrote a note saying, you know, this, that, the other thing. There was none of that. So it's as semi-respectful as you can get. And because of that, I do think there's an end to the means here. I do not think, oh, trade request is get me the hell out of here on the first train to wherever. I don't care where I go. I just want to get out of here. I don't think we're dealing with that. I think this is a ploy. I think this is a tactic. I think it's bad advice by Buddy Baker. I think it's a bad decision by Terry McLaurin, because guess what? Adam Peters could turn around and say, and I don't think he would, but he could if he wanted to, and say, you know what? August 25th, we still haven't made any progress. Terry hasn't caved. We're not caving. You know, screw this. We're ending this. We're not letting this derail the season and trade him. And then what if Terry didn't want to get traded? And this was just a motivational tactic. So that's the one thing I worry about. But I've said, like, oh, I don't know. August 28th is when I think, like, is reasonable to think that this would be solved. That gives Terry enough time to get in uniform, to get a couple of practices in, to get whatever this ankle injury thing is, which I think is a little bit of BS, and to get back into the fold and to get back in the good graces. I don't know if it'll play out that way, Hollywood. By the way, it's great to call you Hollywood again. I don't know if it'll play out that way, but that's the way I want it to play out. That's the way I would guess it would play out, not that I know it would play out that way.
Yeah, you tried to get that nickname to stick on my other show, and it didn't stick, which is good. It belongs here. This is where it started. This is where it belongs. Hey, do you think there's a chance that Terry changes agents?
We need boxes and bags appearance by T.J. Elliott.
I will absolutely play What's in the Box with you again at some point. That was one of the greatest things we ever did. And for, I mean, the fact that, like, people don't realize how much stuff you carry around with you still to this day, I mean, it's there's no reason why we couldn't do that. That was one of my favorite games. At some point, we'll have to figure that out, but we're going to need, like, a whole social team in here, get some video.
Or
we need proof of how that looks. Hey, do you think that there's a chance that Terry McLaurin changes agents at all?
I would doubt it because he's been with Buddy Baker all along, and he's Buddy's, like, biggest client.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point, like, well, let me bounce this scenario off. What if he gets traded to Jacksonville? And he didn't really want to get traded.
Right.
Never mind to Jacksonville. Maybe then, but I don't think it would happen before then. Let's put it that way. The sense that I got in briefly talking to Buddy Baker last week, and others talked to him for longer, so I don't want to say I bent his ear for a half an hour because I didn't. You know, the sense that I got is that Terry's along for the ride. You know, ultimately, Terry's in control, right? Mm-hmm. If Terry didn't want to file a trade request, even if Buddy Baker said this is the right thing to do, then Terry could have not done that. I think they both know that trade requests are not completely useless, but they are just that, a tactic. They're a negotiating tactic, right? We've seen it over and over again. Myles Garrett probably being the last one who immediately signed as soon as they, you know, filled up his coffers with the money that he wanted. So I'm not saying that's exactly what Terry's doing, but I believe that's what he and Buddy Baker are doing. And again, I just wonder at some point, does Adam Peters get frustrated enough to say, okay, you asked for a trade. You're not budging. We're not budging. We're not dealing with this all year. I'll trade your ass. And maybe that's after cut down day. Again, I've said August 28th. I don't know if I'm anywhere close on that, but I would remind you, Mr. Ashew, mm-hmm. Hollywood, I would remind you that, like, when everyone was saying this is not a big deal, this is nothing to see, nothing to worry about, I was the loud lunatic that was crowing very loudly about how this is a big deal. And this is a very problematic situation. Back on July 10th or 11th, I think it was, even before Terry spoke at Eastern Motors, I believe, I said there's a 20% chance that by mid-August we get to a trade request or permission granted to seek a trade. Well, it happened 15 days before I even thought it was. So that surprised me, not that it happened. I expected this bad blood, quite honestly. And I thought Terry was mad at Eastern Motors, not frustrated. I thought he was mad. It was the first time that I had really heard, and, you know, I've covered Terry since he walked in the door. I know him, you know, pretty decently off the field. He's not a mad guy. He's just not. With all the crap that he went through here, he was mad at Eastern Motors, period.
By the way, if you're Eastern Motors, talk about all the free publicity every time it gets mentioned to that situation. Everybody's like, that Eastern Motors moment. So, yeah,
I know.
They're talking to Chris Russell here on the fan.
It was brilliant of them to arrange it,
and
to be in cahoots for that.
Listen, that's how the world works now, man. It's all about just viral marketing. That's all we got to do. When you talk about Adam Peters and the position that he's in, the way I look at this is he's in his first really glaringly important negotiation, right? He's got to find the balance between this is not the same organization as before, but in both ways, right? Like, the culture's better, we treat players great, but also at the same time, we're not going to be walked all over and just overpay guys for the hell of it like we saw so often,
right,
especially early on in the Dan Snyder era. I feel like that's a fine line he has to walk, and it's just become, you know, magnified with the fact that it's Terry McLaurin there. Where are you sort of in how Adam Peters is handled this and really, honestly, the situation that he's in?
Right. So I would say this, and listen, I think Adam's a good man. I've talked to him privately a number of times at a couple of events that we've had, but not really about football, just about his family, his background, his life, his, you know, the kind of philosophies that he has. Mm-hmm. I think if Adam's making a mistake, it's underselling or underjudging what Terry means to this fan base, what he means to that locker room, what he means to that building, right? Not just what age he is, not what he is as a football player, and not what might happen 2 or 3 years from now when he's 32 or 33 and maybe he loses a step. I think if there's one guy that you have to kind of make an exception for, it's Terry McLaurin, right? And I would say that, like, you know, within reason. That doesn't mean you give him, just pay him and give him $35, $36 million. It means hey, man, you can't treat this the same exact way you would treat, I don't know, even Frankie Louvu next year when Frankie Louvu presumably is going to want a new contract, or even Laremy Tunsil. You don't treat Terry McLaurin the same way as you treat a free agent that you saw. You have to treat him, I think, a little bit differently, a little bit more special. Again, that doesn't mean you just give him whatever he wants, but it means you don't draw as hard of a line because of the ancillary benefits to Terry McLaurin and to not waging a war. Right now, I don't think a war is being completely waged in that building, in that locker room right now. But remember, the media is also not in the locker room. So once we're allowed in a couple of weeks, it's going to stir up a little bit more of a hornet's nest because players are going to get frustrated as hell. We've seen it. So to me, I think I hope that Adam Peters is smart enough, and I believe he is, to realize that this isn't every negotiation. This isn't the same as every player who wants a jackpot of cash. This is different. And if Adam Peters is smart and uses common sense, which I believe he will, Nick, I really think he'll eventually come to his senses and realize, okay, can't win every deal. I've got to sweeten the pot. I've got to overpay to avoid the ancillary disaster that this will bring. That doesn't mean you do it for every free agent. They didn't do it for De'Ami Brown. They didn't do it for Olamide Zaccheaus. They didn't do it for this guy. They didn't do it for that guy. They let people go, right? Jeremy Chinn, same agent. They let him go. They said, no thanks. But you, to me, you kind of do it for Terry McLaurin within reason. And when I say within reason, I mean at least $30 million. And it's not just the average per year. People make this mistake. I was looking at DK Metcalf's contract earlier today, or the numbers. He got $80 million in total guarantees and $60 million fully guaranteed. What do you think Terry's looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Terry's not just looking for 33-plus or 33. He's looking for a minimum of $75 million in guarantees and a minimum of $55 to $60 in full guarantees. That's what he's looking for. And Terry probably has overpriced himself, but the market has overpriced the position. And sometimes when that happens, you've got to pay more for something than ideally you'd like to pay.
Yeah, and listen, they're not the first organization to go through this situation. I can remember years ago when these guys were at different points in their career, but the Yankees and Derek Jeter, the Lakers and Kobe Bryant and those contracts that got late, it was more about what they'd done for the organization than where they were physically at that point. I know Terry's not there, but again, this is not the first time that any organization has certainly gone through that. Talking to Chris Russell, Nick Ashew on the Fan, I want to go away from that because we know that the wide receiver situation has it struggled in camp. There's certainly plenty of – you're not going to have Terry McLaurin, that's just going to be the way that it is. I'm really excited to see how Deebo Samuel is used in this offense this year. I felt like years ago when they brought in Curtis Samuel, it was like Deebo light and never really worked out. Deebo's in better shape. He's not so fat. He's ready to go. I think we're going to see a motivated Deebo Samuel. Do you see the same thing?
Well, as you know, I'm a master observer of people being overweight and out of shape, right? No, I think he's looked great, not only in person, at field level. I was standing right near him on the sideline this morning. I think he looks tremendous. He's got the jammed finger. He was getting it rechecked out, but he fully participated in practice, and he made a spectacular over-the-shoulder, diving, sprawling catch from Jaden Daniels over the defender. I forget who was in coverage along the sideline that drew all sorts of oohs and ahs, and he has been awesome so far in the practices that I've seen. And I haven't been at every one. I've been at 7 of the 9 just because I was in Vegas last week, so I missed a couple. But the point being is he looks quick. I don't want to say he looks blazing. That would be the wrong characterization. But he looks quick. He looks agile. He looks sharp in and out of his cuts, outside, inside. They line him up all. Now, the one thing I have not seen, and I don't know if I've missed it, I don't know if it happened while I was gone, is we haven't really seen him used as a jack-of-all-things type thing. But I think they're, of course, trying to save a bunch of that for the regular season so that we're not all talking about it. And so none of it escapes. Not that they're going to recreate the wheel. I mean, Kyle Shanahan did a lot of that in San Francisco. But remember, they never really had a quarterback with the mobility and the explosion and the explosive threat that Jaden Daniels is with Deebo healthy at the same time. They never really had that. That wasn't Jimmy G. That wasn't Brock Purdy. That wasn't any, you know, Nick Mullins or whoever. You know, maybe Trey Lance, but Trey Lance played like 2 games, you know. And so I think there's a way to use Deebo, not only in lining up the in two running back formations, leaking them out of the backfield on little screens. But I think a lot of eye candy stuff. I think we're going to see just a ton of sweeps, fly sweeps, jet sweeps, eye candy before, in front of the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who's in shotgun, in back of him, end arounds, reverses. I think you might even see, hell, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Debo catch like on a swing, you know, and then throw it back to Jaden for a flea flicker type thing. I think they got a bunch of cool packages coming that they're just not showing us yet.
Which we've seen time and time again. There's not a lot that you see in the preseason either, so we can't really judge by what we see. But then, of course, on the other side of things, there's always a preseason hero. Every year you go back, especially with this organization, a lot of times it was who we thought was going to be quarterback. Give me one preseason hero, somebody you expect to break out. Maybe they already have in camp, but you expect to see it during preseason games as well.
All right, so I'm going to give you a name off the board that nobody else is going to give you, but I've heard a lot of chatter, and I talked to Logan Paulson about him, and I know J.P. Finley said the coaches really like him. I'm going to give you just like as a game standout, right, as somebody who I think will make an impact on Friday night against New England, I'm going to give you a long shot here, Lawrence Cager, number 89, the tight end. Nobody's ever heard of him. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's making the team, but that's a guy that, you know, like nobody's sleeping on Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. Everybody's heard about him. Everybody's heard about Trey Amos, right, who had another interception today. You know, Cole Turner has never done anything for me. And they put, I think it was Tyree Jackson on IR, another tight end. And so far, Colson Yankoff hasn't really jumped out at me. So I think Cager is still a long shot, but he's been really impressive. Route running, catching, athleticism. Logan thinks he's a pretty decent blocker, not a great blocker. But that might be somebody that people want to keep an eye on. From a defensive perspective, I would just say this. I'm really looking forward to seeing Cade Medrano in pass coverage on Friday night and whatever impact he can make on special teams. You know, I saw him last week, an interception and a flat pass knockdown in tight coverage on back-to-back plays. And he's just got the body, Nick, that he's not going to take on 320-pound offensive lineman. If he does, he's going to get obliterated because he's like 225. But he's got the ability to do something that Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner doesn't have, and that's drop in the space in zones where even man and carry somebody with him and gobble up a lot of space with his athleticism and his awareness and his ability to read and diagnose. And don't forget, he's a favorite of Ken Norton Jr., the linebackers coach. Mm-hmm. They were together at UCLA, and that was part of the reason why he was here. I think this guy is going to show out on special teams with his speed and athleticism and his brains. And I think really in nickel situations and dime situations, in deep zones and areas that they could not adequately cover last year, I think Medrano, the sixth-round pick, is going to open up some eyes.
All right, before you go, how many random old press passes do you have in your bag right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well,
if I set the over-under at 6.5, where would you go?
I would say under,
okay.
Because here's the deal. I don't carry as much stuff as I used to. Number one, I'm old. I can't carry all this stuff. But here's one for you. I still have my NFC Championship game media badge in my work bag. You know the security bag tags that they put on your work bags when you come into a stadium or an arena? I still have that from the NFC Championship game. You know me. I'm an oldie but goodie.
Hey, you know what? The difference is, though, that's a collector's item. Some of the other stuff in the old, I mean, just the junk that you've carried in there. I'm glad to see that you've cleaned up some of that and gotten more organized. Good for you. Chris Russell,
hey,
Rooster,
listen,
I love
you,
buddy.
If you want to play a good game, if you want to play a good game of mystery, there's a locker that's got a blue combination lock on it, on the wall of the lockers in the radio studio.
Uh-huh.
It's mine. Okay. I lost the combination code.
Oh,
it's been locked for 6 years.
Six?
God knows what is crawling around in there.
We can easily cut that thing open. Oh, I have an
idea. Please do.
No, no, no. You need to be here.
Be like Geraldo.
Okay. We're going to do an investigative.
Let's do it.
I'm going to text CK. Unless he's listening, CK, if you're listening, we are going to open that. It's going to be an unboxing for YouTube. But instead of an unboxing of a toy, like an eight-year-old making millions of dollars, we're going to go through the probably expired food and old press passes and crumbled up pieces of paper in Chris Russell's locker that's been locked for 6 years. We are doing this.
And draft guides, right? Draft notes on the 2018 draft class.
God, and your notes on like backup punter battles and camp over the years. Oh,
baby.
God, you are the best. Oh, good to talk to you, buddy.
I would love to do that.
By the way, I want to make sure I actually say this with you. When I saw Von Miller walking through the airport, I was like, that's Von Miller. I think he's going to sign in Washington. And I texted you. Sure enough, it took a few weeks. But there you go, Von Miller.
Yeah, but that day, he was here for a meeting, I found out. So you were absolutely right on. And I let that slide a little bit. And I want the world to know that Hollywood freaking Nick Ashew was first on the scene at Dulles Airport, scouting and spying Von Miller on his way to a meeting with Adam Peters.
I'm so glad I'm not a reporter and don't have to break stories. I can just enjoy seeing it and not have to worry that I was first or not. Rooster, you're the best. Good talking to you, buddy.
Attaboy.
All right, there he goes, Chris Russell. Yeah, I was in the airport. I was at Dulles, and I was getting on a flight with my wife to go see my brother in Boston. And I'm like, that's Von Miller. I'm pretty sure that's Von Miller. He definitely was trying not to be noticed. It was Von Miller. Somebody escorting him. I'm like, that's got to be him. Started texting a bunch of people. Nobody heard anything about a visit. I had the scoop, Chris. I had it, and I didn't get it. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. You know, I do, and this is a smaller worry, but if this does drag out with Terry McLaurin, by the way, we got some metal here, Chris? Is it?
Some white zombie, man, with Rob Zombie.
I know. It took me a second. I barely heard. I'm talking. I'm like, oh, wait, this is what you said you'd do. I mean, listen, here's what I will tell you now. I have a very wide-ranging interest in music. To me, music is a lot of times it's like, what am I doing, right? To make the kind of music that I want to listen to hip-hop when I'm in the gym. I want to listen to country when I'm out in the backyard or I'm cooking out, whatever the case is. Metal, any of that stuff, never really been a part of my repertoire. But I respect your love for it. I will say that.
It's a pretty diverse genre in its own.
Yeah,
and that's
it
the thing. Because I think a lot of people kind of associate with the really fast, loud stuff. But there's like slow, chill metal, too. And it covers a lot of a different ground, I think. But it's so spread out, so splintered, so many subgenres. It's intimidating for people to get into a lot of times, I think.
So I will tell you, it can make any song sound intimidating, too. When I was in college, all right, I went to George Mason. When I was in college, and I have no idea whether Blue Iguana still exists, if it's there. That was every Tuesday night, karaoke. We'd all go there. There was a guy one week, I will never forget, Chris. He got up and sang Barbie Girl, but did it in like a full screaming metal voice. It was the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard, and I was mesmerized. And this is, again, I don't want to... Fortunately, I'm not in my 20s anymore here. It would have been one of those viral, it would have absolutely gone viral on every social media platform that exists. But it was before that was a big thing. It was just Facebook then, and nobody cared about viral. Everybody just wanted to show you pictures of their kids. And we used to hate that, and there we go. But I will never forget that. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I could never do it. Also, hurt your throat. That whole thing.
There's actually ways they teach you to do that so it doesn't.
I'm sure.
Because like those guys, if you're like on tour and you got to do that every night for an hour, like.
Hey, you know what? There can be something that I have no knowledge of or background in, and I can still respect it. I respect the popularity. It's like pro wrestling. Didn't grow up like caring about it, but I respect its popularity. So it's that. Well, what I was saying before I got Rob Zombie completely derailed me, and this happens sometimes. Chris Russell derails me. Rob Zombie, it's going to be a night. I'm here till 10. This is going to be a thing. I do worry to a point that if this situation with Terry McLaurin starts to drag out for a longer period of time, I do worry a little bit that it's a Brandon Ayuk situation. Remember, he missed a lot of time with the 49ers before last season. Now, I know he got hurt. I know his season ended with a torn ACL, but he looked behind in that offense even beforehand. Now, I'm not saying it's an apples-to-apples comparison. It depends on how long it is. And Terry McLaurin obviously certainly has had developed chemistry with Jaden Daniels last year. But this is a whole new year. The offense is still going to have new layers to it. There's a certain level of like, yeah, you can work out, and then there's football shape, right? Every sport. You can sit there and do whatever you want on the sidelines. It's another thing when you actually get out there on the field or develop chemistry, and there's the offense. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that it does. It does at least make me worry to a point that there could be a delay in some of that performance if Terry McLaurin misses a lot of camp and he doesn't get back out there with them, and it's, you know, August 25th or something along those lines. It's just something to think about. It's something to at least think about. But in the end, I will never blame a guy for going and trying to get as much money as he can, because one hit, that ends your football career. No, let's go to EJ in D.C. What's up, EJ? You're on the overtime.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, yeah, guys. I'm calling because with the Terry McLaurin situation, everybody just act like Jaden Daniels is Tom Brady or something. I mean, because he had a good year, but if he would have played without Zach Ertz and Terry McLaurin, we'd be talking differently. He has potential to be a superstar,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that. But don't just dismiss Terry McLaurin. Like they say, where's them 13 touchdowns coming from?
Well, the one thing I'll say, EJ, I hope nobody's actually dismissing Terry McLaurin. If somebody's dismissing Terry McLaurin for what he's been to this organization, what he did last year, they're a crazy person. I'm certainly not.
Yeah, and another thing is, they say, well, he overpaid. They're overpaying. How are they overpaying him? He produced every year. You know, they say, oh, you 30, right? And you can't do this. And he should fall off. How they know he should fall off? They just going by the age of 30. Mm-hmm. But one thing about McLaurin, he didn't play a lot of college. So he didn't play a lot of college. He came in the league and he's been producing every year. But people call in and I hear him tell you, well, he should just take this. Or he should just take that. But I heard you say that, no, it don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
But without Terry McLaurin, you know, we don't have Justin Jefferson. We don't have Chase. We don't have the guy in Philly. We got Terry McLaurin. And without him, where's the production going to come from? I don't think we're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, listen, EJ, thanks. It makes a huge difference. Look, I know you're not saying that I did, but trust me, I'm not dismissing what Terry McLaurin means to this team, to this offense, to this organization, any of that. And there's a reason why I said, and I will say it time and time again, I do not blame any athlete or any person, you, any individual person, trying to maximize their income. Good for you. But it comes with a cost sometimes. And that's the situation that is going on right now between the organization and between Terry McLaurin and the polarizing topic that it's become. And listen, it doesn't help that it's the middle of the summer and there's the Nats suck and there's not a lot going on. And this is going to be even more of a topic because it's all anybody wants to talk about coming off of a 12-win season for this team. Now, when it comes to Zach Ertz and Terry McLaurin helping Jaden Daniels succeed last year, of course. Yeah. One of the big things that you need for a young quarterback, and specifically a rookie quarterback, is safety nets. Majority of the time, it's a tight end, or it's, you know, it can be a slot receiver or somebody that you can count on, say, on like a, you know, a third and three, you got to convert this first down, that type of situation. Now, I know Terry's not a slot receiver, but like that, if you remember Leighton Santana Moss's career, Santana Moss, his rookie, or in RG3's rookie season, was that safety net for RG3. It was get the ball to Santana Moss on third and three. He was catching the ball every single time. That wasn't peak Santana Moss, but it was still sure hands Santana Moss when you needed it. Now, Terry McLaurin, clearly very different role than where Moss was at that point in his career, but from Zach Ertz, a veteran tight end that can go out there and make you the plays and understand the gravity of situations, but be calm and smart in those situations, that is an invaluable thing to have. And he showed how important that was. And of course it made Jaden Daniels a better quarterback. And of course he succeeded more because he had those weapons. Listen, how many quarterbacks in the NFL, let's really think about this, how many quarterbacks in the NFL can you look at and say they elevate the talent around them where it doesn't matter what the receivers look like, it doesn't matter who they've got out there catching footballs, that quarterback is going to make them better. Tom Brady was obviously known for that at times, but he did also have Randy Moss when he threw for 50 touchdowns. So it's like he also did have a star, but Tom Brady made everybody around him better. We know that. There are very few. Patrick Mahomes will certainly be put in that category, but even he has, you know, turnover and mistake issues. But that's the way that he plays. Mahomes and Brady, very different ways that they quarterback, and it's worked for both of them, right? But especially when a quarterback is young, you've got to have those safety nets. You've got to have those guys that they can count on in certain situations to make plays. And Austin Ekeler is another one that's there. But that's why so many teams around the NFL now are starting quarterbacks right away in their rookie year, and they're trying to maximize that rookie scale contract. That is a big, big deal for any organization that has a quarterback that succeeds right away, because we saw what the Texans did after C.J. Stroud's rookie year. They went out and spent money, and then that offense regressed. Now, there's a lot of other factors in there, and that doesn't mean that Jaden Daniels is going to regress in year two, but you do worry that there is a level of some sort of sophomore slump. Now, we can paint a big, broad picture and say what the sophomore slump looks like, and you may think it looks different than me. To me, it's a step back and looking like he's making more mistakes and not progressing forward. The biggest thing that I wanted to see from Jaden Daniels in his rookie year was just progression, getting better week after week after week. Remember, his week one debut, not very good. It was like, oh, God, this guy's got a long way to go, maybe. And then all of a sudden, we know what the rest of the story was. So in year two, you want to put that quarterback in a position to piggyback off of what happened in year one. Some of it's just a confidence level. Make no mistake about it. You have got to be smart enough as an organization to say, this kid is still young, and yeah, he's confident, but we want to make sure that he stays confident moving forward in his career. And yeah, Terry McLaurin brings that to the table, and it's why I say, he's got leverage. Like, Terry McLaurin has leverage in this situation. And yeah, we can talk about going to turn 30 this year and that. The age 30 season and then the production after the age of 30, that doesn't necessarily hit wide receivers the way that it does running backs. Some wide receivers, but we've still seen a lot of production for somebody like Tyreek Hill, right? Now, you can argue a lot of things, whether it's the same offense, same quarterback, all those. He had some injuries, and that's really one of the concerns is, okay, does Terry McLaurin recover the same way that he did? At that point, you're playing into a fantasy. You have no idea. We've seen a lot of athletes now, more than ever, play longer into their careers than they ever have before. I mean, Tom Brady is unique, and it's obviously not the same position, and he was stone-footed and wasn't going to actually run anywhere, but he was able to play forever. LeBron James, playing forever. Like, longevity is not appreciated enough in sports. It's why I admire what LeBron James has been able to do, to play at the level that he's played in for so long, for this far into his career. I don't know if Terry McLaurin could do that. Maybe, maybe not. Let's be real. Some of this is just genetics with LeBron. He's just built different, okay? But to have the idea that, oh, Terry McLaurin, we don't know what he's going to look like at 33, 34. We don't. But it's the same sort of like when people worry and they fill in the blank, what if, and it's something really bad. What if the whole world falls apart? Okay, well, what if it doesn't? Well, what if Terry McLaurin gets really old and can't run anymore? What if he doesn't? What if he can play till he's 35 at a high level? It's possible. So these are all, some of these are just guessing. You don't know. It's like when the Yankees had to, you know, deal with contract situations with Derek Jeter much farther in his career, or Kobe Bryant and the Lakers late in his career, where it became more about, these are legends of this organization, but we know they're not going to play at the elite level they maybe did at their prime, but they're still so valuable to these teams. The value for Terry McLaurin as a fan favorite, but also what he does on the field, is why he's asking for so much. And that's why it makes sense. And I don't blame him one bit. One bit for that. And the balancing act with Adam Peters matters. Like, all of this. This is why this is complicated, guys. This is why this is something that is very, very complicated. Why Jerry Jones needs to live to at least 100 for all of us. I'll explain that next. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Yeah, I just realized my mic was on and I'm trying to chew. Chris, you got to let me know these things, man. I did something that I've told myself I would never do anymore. I've learned over the years. I'm just going to get this water. I'll explain why in a second.
Mm-hmm. I was leaving the music up so you could not, nobody could hear
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, the mic was still on. Luckily, I didn't say anything. That's good. That being said, got a nice salad here, you know. Just healthy, light, you know, keeps me from getting too tired late in the show, right? You know, you get those food and you're just like, oh, not that. There are almonds within this salad. So I have learned over the years, you don't want to eat any sort of nuts. You can take that clip wherever you want with it. You can't. Because they find ways to get lodged in your teeth. And when you're talking for long, extended periods of time, they tend to pop back up. Now, I wish Chris Russell was still on with us, because that has happened to him before where he has choked on the air. There are clips. Chris Russell has choked on the air. And I used to laugh at that clip. Except it's happened to me multiple times over the years, too. And I've learned my lesson, and I forgot it, and I did this while I chewed on the air. That just shows that, well...
You need some gum. Gum will clear that up.
Yeah, probably. I just got water here, too. Let's get a little more. There you go. You and I were talking about the worst owners during the break, too. I will say this. You know, looking at where Washington is now, look, I understand some people are still very apprehensive. I was actually talking to somebody in the organization probably a few weeks ago now, and there is a lot of worry. I wouldn't say it's worry, but there is a lot of apprehension, might be the best word, about how the fan base just still feels about the team in terms of the passion, the love for it, because the name is different, the jerseys have been different. But again, like, you have new ownership coming in and trying to change things, and it's just gotten started. They've already done the right thing, at least bringing back the they call them the Super Bowl era uniforms, which is the right choice because they were also worn during times when they were nowhere close to winning a Super Bowl. But that was the right choice. That should be the full-time thing. But like, it's going to take time for people to really settle in. You know, it's like if you've been in a really bad relationship for a long period of time, whatever happened in that relationship, you know, somebody's real jealous, or maybe it's something even, you know, far worse than that, whatever the case is. It doesn't mean that every relationship moving forward is going to be the same way. In fact, usually it's not if you seek out the right person. In this case, we've seeked out a better relationship with better ownership in Washington, but there's still a lack of trust. There's still trust issues that exist within this fan base right now.
Oh, baggage.
It's absolutely baggage. Listen, we are all scarred, and I get to say we here because I'm a fan of this team. I'm not a we guy, but I'm a we guy here, okay? We, as a fan base of the Washington Commanders, whether you like the name or not, all right, we're scarred. And listen, for somebody like me, and listen, I've talked about this plenty over the years, right? Like, I come from the era of losses and sadness and embarrassment and punchlines and all negative press. The best year that I have ever experienced as a fan of this team was 2012 and RG3, and that was fun, and that was 1 year. And then, of course, it's this is why we can't have nice things, and we all know how year two went and everything after that. So I understand why people are apprehensive even when it comes to the bigger picture with this, with how this negotiation is being handled. I will say it, and I will say it, and I will say it again. It is not the same thing. This is grown-ups doing grown-up work, but it's not always fun. It's not. And that's what makes this Terry McLaurin situation that much more frustrating, is the fact that, you know, this is a fan favorite. And this is somebody that has, I mean, had a incredible season last year and a well-deserved season. 13 touchdowns. And, we talk about everything that Terry McLaurin has done over the years for this team with quarterbacks off the scrap heap for them. At least 900 yards receiving every single year. 5 straight years, 1,000 yards receiving, and this is, again, without a Pro Bowl quarterback until just last year. So, yes, it all makes sense that he should be asking for what he's asking for. But on the other side of things, you still have a business to run. I always hate the argument. It's like, well, it's not, why do you care? It's not your money. That's not the point. One, there's a salary cap. Like, this is an actual business. But two, this team has to allocate money to other things. And it has to be like, what do you get on the back end of this? And maybe this comes down to it being a compromise, where it's Terry McLaurin gets more money on the front end of the contract, which makes sense because you would hope he's younger, the performance is higher, all of those things, you're getting your money's worth. And then it's when things start to trickle off later down 3 years down the road, 4 years into the contract, whatever the case is. That might be where the compromise is. Because it's not just the how much money he makes every single year. It's what that contract looks like later. If it's a bad contract, it's, you know, what that does in terms of the rest of the salary cap or guaranteed money or whatever. You can, and again, there's a million other pieces to a contract that have that aren't public. So these are all of the things that have to get factored into this. But the reality of where they are now is this is grown-ups doing a grown-up thing. And I'm sitting here now in this studio, by the way, and Bruce Allen is staring at me with this smirk on his face. And I know B. Mitch and Finley love to have all these things up here right now, but it is haunting. I'm looking at Bruce Allen as I'm talking about grown-ups running an organization, and I'm seeing this smirk of Bruce Allen, this picture sitting here in the studio, and it is haunting me as I talk about and think about the past and look at this. I swear to God, these eyes have moved on this picture. Chris, I'm telling you, dude, the eyes have moved on this picture of Bruce Allen staring at me. The smirk has gone up a little bit more, and I swear to you, it moves. It's freaking me out. It's really happening right now.
Yeah, I hear the bobbleheads around here come alive at night.
They probably do. It is what it is. But it's just you look back on that and go, okay, this is a completely different situation, and it's a great situation to be in. All right, Mark and Largo, I got like a minute. I'm going to go to you real quick, buddy. You've been waiting. What's up, Mark?
Hey, you know, I really think I kind of agree with you. This really should be done easier, and I really think Terry should get a new agent. And the reason why I say that is this. You know, you can get someone from Plus Sports that can come in and say, okay, you don't want to go over 30. Well, why don't we do this? Let's give him 28 or 29. Then we'll get – let's set bonuses in. Terry catches this amount, catches, he gets this amount. He gets this amount. He gets this amount. I think the team would go for that. I honestly think if you give him like 28 or 20, let's say 27, 28, but he gets bonuses, which takes it over 30, over 31, maybe even 32 and stuff like that. If you get to a certain amount of bonus laden contract for 3 years, I think this is something that I think Adam Peters will be fine with. But you got to have an experienced agent. And to me, Bubba Baker just reminds me of somebody, well, Terry's not going to get this, so well, can't you just do an alternative and say, why don't we give a bonus laden contract and just go from there?
So
people are doing this all the time.
I love that, Mark. I think the team would love that. The question is does Terry McLaurin love that? Because these bonus-laden contracts, guys don't want to have performance-based clauses in there. They want that money guaranteed. The most important thing for NFL players is guaranteed money because you don't get it. And that's one of the toughest things.
You got to think for a receiver, too. They are tied to the quarterback. So let's just say Jaden Daniels blows his hamstring in week one, and he's out. Now, that's going to impact Terry's numbers now, which is now impacting his contract. And he doesn't want his contract to rely on whether the quarterback's healthy.
And that's one of the biggest things. I've always said wide receivers are – they're basically like the – they're the Ferrari of football, where you got great conditions. The road is nice. You can hit that gas, and, oh, man, it's fun. But the minute things start to get rocky, quarterback goes down, maybe the weather is bad, offensive line's not doing their job, the assembly line of success – that a wide receiver needs to perform, it's not clicking, and then you're just an overpaid decoy standing out there. And that's one of the more difficult things about paying a wide receiver is that issue right there, is that there are other factors that go into that wide receiver living up to that contract and those expectations. But listen, it's the cost of doing business. You got a star wide receiver and a young quarterback, you need to pay that wide receiver. But I don't think as much as, yes, the Adam Peters and the team would probably love an incentive base because it's like, hey, we'll pay you more, but you're giving us what we need. It's perfect. But if you're Terry McLaurin on that side of things, it's you want to get as much as you possibly can. And that's really what it comes down to. But tell you what, I think this drags out for a while, but at the same time, I do think they all come together because Terry wants to be here. It's very, like, at this point, you've suffered through all the hell. Why would you want to leave when things are finally getting great? I mean, what's the point of that? It's like grinding and grinding in your career, and then all of a sudden you get your dream job, and you're like, you know, I think I'm just going to go do something else instead. That's the last thing that you want to do. But, you know, again, there are limits to all this. I get it. But, you know, you play the game. You work through this if you're Terry McLaurin. I do, you know, you do wonder, though, is this over his agent's head a little bit? Because Terry McLaurin is by far his highest profile client. And, you know, somebody gave me advice years ago about changing agents and how that can benefit you in your career. It's business. That's what matters. Wasn't getting $30 million a year asking for it, but I'm just saying. It does matter, the people that go to bat for you and the type of negotiations and the type of things that they can do. So I think that's going to be something that, look, it's going to take a little time when that's the case. So we'll see. Maybe it all works out by Friday and, you know, Terry's in uniform but not actually out there against the Patriots. Could be the case. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.